many, Pete Seeger will always be remembered as America's most famous and infamous folk singer. Banjo player Tony Trischka first heard Seeger's banjo picking and singing as a child and later became his friend. When he was 14 years old, Trischka wrote Seeger a fan letter. He didn't have an address, so he just addressed it to Pete Seeger, Beacon, New York, and hoped that it would reach his hero.
I wrote something to the effect, "Dear Pete, I think you're the greatest banjo player who ever lived." 2 weeks later, I received a postcard back from Pete Seeger saying, "Dear Tony, music's not like a horse race. There's no such thing as best, but I'm glad you like my music." He signed it Pete Seeger, as he would, and he drew a little banjo, and that just became this, like, relic, this iconic thing that helped inspire me.
Born in New York City in 1919, Pete Seeger grew up believing that song has the power to change the world. Seeger dropped out of Harvard College in 1938 and started working with music archivist Alan Lomax, assisting him with song collecting trips through the American South. In the mid-1940s, he formed the Almanac Singers, a highly politicized singing group known for recording Union songs and anti-war anthems. While the start of World War II meant the end of the Almanac Singers, a stint in the Army did not mean the end of Pete Seeger's singing career. In 1948, he formed the Weavers, who soon became one of America's favorite singing groups. Poet Carl Sandburg wrote, "The Weavers are out of the grassroots of America. When I hear America singing, the Weavers are there." One of the most famous songs by the Weavers, "Xenia, Xenia, Xenia," makes an appearance on Pete Seeger at 89, albeit in a slightly different version. The 21st century version includes not only an English translation of the Israeli song, but also a translation in Arabic. And, as Pete Seeger describes it, all the parts harmonize with each other. As popular as it was, "Xenia, Xenia, Xenia," and his other hit songs couldn't rescue Pete Seeger from the Red Scare of the early 1950s. Three members of the Weavers were named as members of the Communist Party. The group was soon ostracized, and despite selling millions of records, the Weavers couldn't get hired for concerts, and they were dropped by their record label. In 1955, Pete Seeger was called to Washington to testify before the U.S. House of Representatives Un-American Activities Committee, where he was questioned about his political associations. He told the committee, "I am not going to answer any questions as to my associations, my philosophical or my religious beliefs, or how I voted in any election or any of these private affairs. I think these are very improper questions for any American to be asked." Because of that, on July 26, 1956, the House of Representatives voted 373-9 to cite Pete Seeger and seven others for contempt. 5 years later, Seeger's case finally came to trial. He was found guilty and sentenced to a year in prison, resulting in worldwide protests. Although the verdict was later overturned, that did not mean a return to business as usual for Seeger. He did not show up again on U.S. radio and television until the late 1960s. Which makes it all the more remarkable that in 1994, Pete Seeger returned to Washington to receive the Presidential Medal of the Arts, the nation's highest artistic honor. 2 years later, he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And in 2009, Pete Seeger performed at the Lincoln Memorial in a concert to celebrate the presidency of Barack Obama. Andrew Revkin writes the .earth blog for the New York Times and is also a professional musician who played with Pete Seeger many times over the past 20 years. He says that while there are still many people who think of Pete Seeger only in political terms, his songs will live on.
I think he'll always be there in the sense that so many musicians have been influenced by him, even if the next generations coming forward may not even know his name. Some of the best heard renditions of his songs were by the Byrds. And more recently, Bruce Springsteen did an album, The Seeger Sessions. They weren't Pete Seeger's songs, but they were songs that Bruce learned through Pete. You know, the great old hymn and folk song, Will the Circle Be Unbroken? The circle created through his music is unbroken.
When he died, Pete Seeger had a list of honors longer than the neck on his famed banjo. Not bad for a man who says he never planned to make music his career.
I did not want to be a professional musician. I liked to sing, but I thought music business was full of hypocrisy. I did go sing in the schools, though, in summer camps. And then some of the kids grew up, went to college, and during the frightened 50s, when the Blacklist was in the popular music business, I just went from college to college to college to college to college to college to college. Most important job I ever did. I could have kicked the bucket in 1960. My job was done. After me, a whole bunch of young people came along, Bob Dylan, Phil Oakes, and a whole lot of others. And now it's out of control.
It was Pete Seeger who changed the words of an old spiritual from "We will overcome" to "We shall overcome," and then sang it to American civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr., who went on to make it an anthem of the civil rights movement in the 1960s. That optimism endured in his music. I'm Catherine Cole.
If it can't be reduced,
if it can't be reduced,
reused, repaired,
reused, repaired,
rebuilt, refurbished, refinished, resold, recycled, or composted, then it should be,
then it should be,
restricted, redesigned,
restricted, redesigned,
or removed,
removed,
from production,
from production. Hooray for the city of Berkeley.
Hooray,
hooray for the city of Berkeley.
Hooray,
hooray for the city of Berkeley and its zero waste commission. Hooray for the city of Berkeley. That beautiful city.